Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tapping, the Arkansas Paranormal Network. Everybody out there on Facebook that's watching me, I'm glad y'all's joining me. We've been away for a while now on the Blog Talk Radio. But I am glad to be back. We've actually been doing it on another network. I still do shows on the other network, but after the first of the year, we'll do more of our shows here on Blog Talk just due to I have a better communication with everybody on the Blog Talk stuff than I do on the other one. Unfortunately, I'm having problems with cameras downtown here. I usually do a live feed on Facebook, but apparently some reason somewhere along the way, my computers have changed and now they don't recognize anything. And so I am doing a live broadcast on my phone, and but the people on the Facebook won't be able to hear what's going on, what the shows are, and everything else. So if I'm just encouraging everybody to go to Blog Talk Radio, I'll put up some a link on our site there that you all you have to do is punch on it and go to it. If not, go to blogtalkradio.com/ the Arkansas Paranormal Network, and you should be able to find us. There's several ways you can get there. You can go to Blog Talk Radio and go up to hobbies and paranormal and find Tapping, and that's kind of a hard way to go about doing it, but anyway, it's a way to doing it. But anyway, I hope everybody's had a good week of work. We've been really busy here in town. Really don't know. Well, I know what went on after being here most of the day. We finally figured out what's going on downtown. They had Jingles and Mingle here in Van Buren today. It was an all-day event. They had horse carriages and all that going on. They're supposed to lit up the old courthouse downtown tonight as well. I think it's over with by now. It's supposed to go on 8 o'clock. Yeah, it's over with. But we have been actually extremely busy here at the office and studios here. I really didn't think we would be that much busy. But we were almost as busy as it was on Halloween weekend. Matter of fact, I think we were busier today than then. But it's been kind of a, and they're still coming in. I mean, we still have people walking in, and usually when they walk in, it's usually two, six or seven to 10 people. And it was kind of a struggle there a while ago, trying to eat lunch and people walking in, and we have a building full all of a sudden. I love it, and I'm glad everybody's supporting us and coming in, talking to us, and realizing that we're around here to help them. So it's a good thing, and that's always a good thing. But anyway, won't be running a 2-hour show like normal. Like I said, we've been down here all day. We weren't expecting to be here 2 o'clock, and then we were going home. So, but we're still here. We got people still coming in, so It'll probably die out here pretty quick after 8 o'clock and after the event was. As a matter of fact, they were having what they call the live windows here in town on Main Street. They had Main Street shut down and had two horse carriages out here and people were riding. They had all kinds of stuff going on in town. And then they had the lighting of the courthouse down here. Of course, next weekend is the parade here in Van Buren. The Christmas parade will be next weekend. So we'll be busy next weekend as well. Yeah. So we are very busy here in Van Buren and the Arkansas Ghost Hunters of Crawford County is really picking up. I mean, we've got... Well, we just got off a case in Arkansas, which was four and a half hour drive from here. That was a good little trip. We got to see countryside that we normally don't see. Anyway, it was a good. It was 4 hours up, 4 hours of investigation, 4 hours back. So that was a long trip. But we got another one coming up. It's another 4 hour and a half drive, and we're going towards Texarkana this time. So. I don't have a date set on that yet. Just got the guy's paperwork in today. So, and then we got two more cases here in Van Buren, I believe. This just popped up, hopefully. Well, one case in Van Buren, one down the road a little ways. But we're getting busy. We've added a bunch of new members. Picked up a new member today and handed out another application to somebody that was with another group that's broke up and they're wanting to join and keep on going. So they're going to join us. So we are growing quickly, which is good. It's all good. Now, everybody survived the storms. We had tornadoes here in Van Buren last night. A bunch of areas pretty close to our home in north of Van Buren. Got torn up by tornadoes. Our home didn't, but we had about 90 mile an hour winds with it. But the tornado went north of us, actually. Hit north of Van Buren, and then it jumped the hill and hit Mountainburg area again. And then one, and which was pretty bad. And then that one that went through Tinkiller and Snake Creek area. I mean, that thing it went 50 miles plus on the ground in the mountains, over the lakes and everything, just tore the place up. Seen videos of it today. It's pretty bad up in that area. So we've had a lot of stuff going on here last night. Fortunately, we didn't get anything. Van Buren was on the south side of it, but the north end got it. So it was pretty bad up in that area. But anyway, as far as I know, there's nobody really got hurt on it. And so, which is a good thing. We're going to see how this thing works. I'm going to try to bring it up here. But anyway, I'm glad everybody on Facebook is joining me. Anyway, if y'all want to hear, I'm going to, like I said, I want to try this on, I ran it here and before they blew. I don't know if it's Facebook. I have no idea. but a reason that my camera that I normally use to broadcast on Facebook doesn't recognize Facebook will not recognize it. I don't know if it's the program or what, but I haven't changed anything. So, and I know a bunch of other paranormal groups that all of a sudden can't broadcast on Facebook either. So, but I am on my phone. I'm broadcasting it on there. But for some reason, going to this computer, you can't do it. I don't know why. But anyway. But after I ran this program, it seemed like I was having problems. If y'all want to listen to it, I'm hoping to get my foot unstuck here. You have to see the back part of this. A lot of cords. Anyway, I'm going to be running a clip. It's called The Wounded Knee Massacre. I was doing it for the Native American Heritage Month, of course, which is month now. But I didn't have it on this show. I'm going to try to do it. And hopefully it's going to be there. I'm not for sure if it will be or not. So everybody on Facebook that's following me, more than likely, I'm going to sign off here because I'm going to have to use my phone to find out if I can hear the show on the other end without having to put my headset on this mic to make it run. I'm more than likely going to have to, but the other one didn't have to. But you know, I don't know about this one, if we do or not. It's running off the same computer. It might not have to. But anyway, we're going to find out. So everybody on Facebook, keep continuing to follow me. Listen to our show. Go to blogtalkradio.com/Arkansas Paranormal Network or click the little link. There's supposed to be a link up there. I don't have it pulled up. Facebook pulled up on my computer. I'm only using one computer right now. And if I pull too many tabs up, it's going to lock up. So I'm just taking chances right now. But anyway, if it's working, I'll be back and log on, and we'll talk while the show is going on. Y'all can ask questions or whatever. If not, join me on Blog Talk. The chat room is up and running, and I'm going to try this out and see how things go. So everybody on Facebook, jump on over to the Blog Talk link and follow and listen to the show. You don't have to say anything. Go in the chat room, whatever, and listen to the show. So, everybody, we'll see y'all over there. Later, everybody. Anyway, then ending the Facebook thing. So, on the radio, just my phone. I'm sorry. Okay, we'll see if this thing works or not. So I want to everybody thank everybody for joining us back on the Blog Talk station. All right, you can hear the echo going on. All right, we're going to try this and see what happens.
But my knowledge of history has been limited by what I was taught. As far as I was concerned, the history of the continent started 500 years ago when Columbus discovered the New World. But we know that's not true. There were people here. So how is it we know so little about this past, the human history of North America, our own story? Could it be that we don't think it worthy of mention, the way history has remembered the ancient civilizations of Greece, Rome, Egypt, or China? The truth is, we have a story worth talking about. We have a history worth... ...300 languages. Many of them lived in beautiful cities, among the largest and most advanced in the world. In the coming hours, 500 Nations looks back on these ancient cultures, how they lived, and how many survived. We turn for guidance to hundreds of Indian people across the continent. We'll meet many of them in our programs. To bring the past alive, we searched archives for the oldest and most authentic images of Indian people. We sought out rare books and manuscripts for the actual words of participants and eyewitnesses to history. Our camera crews traveled throughout North America to film at the actual places where important events in Indian history occurred. We filmed incredible treasures of Indian creativity from museums across North America and Europe. Historians and archaeologists work with visual artists and advanced computer technology to allow us, for the first time, to walk through virtual realities of ancient Indian worlds. What you're about to see is what happened. It's not all that happened, and it's not always pleasant. We can't change that. We can't turn back the clock. But we can open our eyes and give the First Nations of this land the recognition and respect they deserve, their rightful place in the history of the world. With that in mind, we take you first to where our story ends, on the Great Plains in the late 1800s.
The rumor got about the school. The dead are to return. The buffalo are to return. The Lakota people will get back their own way of life. That part about the dead returning was what appealed to me. To think I should see my dear mother, grandmother, brothers and sisters again. But boy-like, I soon forgot about it. Until one night when I was rudely awakened in the dormitory.
Get up. Put your clothes on and slip downstairs. We are running away.
A boy was hissing into my ear. Soon 50 of us little boys, about 8 to 10, started out across country, over hills and valleys, running all night. I know now that we ran almost 30 miles. There on the Porcupine Creek, thousands of Lakota people were in camp.
By the late 1880s, a message of hope spread across the Great Plains. It was called the Ghost Dance, a dance to restore the past when Indian nations were free.
Without rest, on and on. Occasionally, someone thoroughly exhausted and dizzy fell unconscious into the center and lay there dead. The visions ended the same way, like a chorus describing a great encampment of all the Lakotas who had ever died, where there was no sorrow, but only joy, where relatives thronged out with happy laughter. The people went on and could not stop. And so I suppose the authorities did think they were crazy. But they weren't. They were only terribly unhappy.
Driven off their lands, Indian nations were confined to desolate reservations, dependent on corrupt government agencies for food and supplies.
The people were desperate from starvation. We felt that we were mocked in our misery. We held our dying children and felt their little bodies tremble as their souls went out and left only a dead weight in our hands. Red Cloud, Oglala.
The ghost dance hurt no one, but as it spread, white settlers panicked. The United States government outlawed the dance.
The white men were frightened and called for soldiers. We had begged for life, and the white men thought we wanted theirs.
On a mild day just after Christmas of 1890, a band of Hukwoju Sioux, under their leader Bigfoot, left the Cheyenne River Agency in South Dakota, heading for a meeting at Pine Ridge with Oglala leader Red Cloud. Traveling with Bigfoot were 106 men and 252 women and children. Among them was a boy, Dewey Beard, who would later tell his children and grandchildren about that day.
Grandpa Dewey Beard being the last survivor, I would listen to what he had to say. In a way, it was sad, and yet it's beautiful because it's bringing back history. One thing that he would say is that had the soldiers, had the government left them alone, in time they would have looked outside and seen how things were changing, and the change would come about from within the bands.
Bigfoot's band was intercepted by the 7th Cavalry. The officer in charge found Bigfoot wrapped in heavy blankets, dying from pneumonia in the back of a wagon. Bigfoot was ordered to make camp along Wounded Knee Creek. In the morning, his people would be stripped of their weapons and escorted to Pine Ridge. Bigfoot made assurances of his peaceful intentions, and the band made camp.
He's a peaceful man. He's always say that, think about the elderly, think about the children and women, and don't start the trouble.
Morning broke after a sleepless night surrounded by soldiers. Hukwoju witnesses would later recall what happened next.
Bigfoot, who was sick, came up with a flag of truce tied to a stick. Dewey Beard.
As soldiers trained their guns on them, Bigfoot and his men brought forth all their weapons, placing them near the white flag of truce Bigfoot had planted in front of his lodge. The soldiers then searched their tents and wagons for arms, even confiscating cooking and sewing tools. As Bigfoot's people gathered around the flag of truce outside his tent, four powerful Hotchkiss rapid repeating guns were mounted above the camp.
I noticed that they were erecting cannons up here, also hauling up quite a lot of ammunition for it.
They encircled us like a band of sheep.
I could see that there was commotion amongst the soldiers, and I saw on looking back, they had their guns in position, ready to fire.
Thomas Tibbles, a white reporter who followed the troops to Wounded Knee, recorded what happened next.
Suddenly I heard a single shot from the direction of the troops. Then three or four, a few more, and immediately a volley. At once came a general rattle of rifle firing, then the Hotchkiss guns.
Awful noise was heard, and I was paralyzed for a time. Then my head cleared, and I saw nearly all the people on the ground bleeding. My father, my mother, my grandmother, my older brother, and my younger brother were all killed.
Great hugging the big shoes on her.
And he saw his mother walking toward him. She was walking along, and she was shot. Dewey, she said, keep walking, my son. She said, keep going. She said, I'm going to die. And that was the last time he saw his mother.
The women, as they were fleeing with their babies, were killed together, shot right through. And after most of them had been killed, a cry was made that all those not killed or wounded should come forth and they would be saved. Little boys came out of their places of refuge, and as soon as they came in sight, a number of soldiers surrounded them and butchered them there. American Horse, Oglala.
The firing continued for an hour or two, wherever a soldier saw a sign of life. With the sunset, the weather turned intensely cold. About 7 o'clock that night, the 7th Cavalry brought in the long train of dead and wounded soldiers and Indians from Wounded Knee. 49 wounded Sioux women and children had been piled into a few old wagons.
The wounded Indian women and children were eventually carried into an agency church, where they lay in silence on the floor beneath a pulpit decorated with a Christmas banner reading, Peace on Earth, Goodwill to Men.
Nothing I have seen in my whole life ever affected or depressed or haunted me like the scenes I saw that night in that church. One unwounded old woman held a baby on her lap. I handed a cup of water to the old woman, telling her, give it to the child, who grabbed it as if parched with thirst. As she swallowed it hurriedly, I saw it gush right out again. A blood-stained stream through a hole in her neck. Heartsick, I went to find the surgeon. For a moment, he stood there near the door, looking over the mass of suffering and dying women and children. Out of the silence. The silence they kept was so complete, it was oppressive. And then, to my amazement, I saw that the surgeon, who I knew had served in the Civil War, attending the wounded from Wilderness to Appomattox, he began to grow pale. This is the first time I've seen a lot of women and children shot to pieces, he said, and I can't stand it. Thomas Tibbles, reporter.
For 3 days, the frozen bodies of the dead, including Bigfoot, lay where they fell at Wounded Knee. Finally, the Army dug a large trench at the massacre site. Then, as they collected the bodies, a blanket was seen moving. Beneath it, snuggled against her dead mother, was a baby girl.
The official military history is called Wounded Knee, the last battle in the Indian Wars. But the tenacious struggle for Indian survival, as symbolized by a child clinging to life for 3 days on a frozen field, continues to this day. 500 nations will follow a path that covers thousands of years and will bring us full circle to 1890. In this hour, we will travel back in time to three stunning civilizations that flourished long before the arrival of Europeans. To the Anasazi of the Southwest, the mound builders of the Mississippi, and the great pyramid builders of the Maya. But when we return, we'll go back even farther to creation as seen through the eyes of Indian people.
Just a little bit lonely. outlaw, half Cherokee and Choctaw. My baby, she's a Chippewa, she's a one of a kind. All my friends call me Bear Claw. The village chicken is my pawpaw. He gets his orders from my mama. She makes him walk the line. You can find me in my wigwam. I'll be feeding on my tom-tom. Pull out the pipe and smoke you some. And pass it around. Cause I'm an Indian outlaw. Half Cherokee and Choctaw. My baby, she's a Chippewa. She's a one of a kind. We can ride my pony jumbo, make your little heart bubble, or like a glass of wine. I remember the medicine man. He caught running water in my hand, drugged me around by my headband, said I wasn't a kind. Cause I'm an Indian outlaw, half Cherokee and Choctaw. My baby, she's a Chippewa, she's a one of a kind. I can kill a deer or a buffalo with just my arrow and my hickory bow. From 100 yards, don't you know, wow, I do it all the time. They all gather around my teepee late at night trying to catch a peek at me, and nothing but my buffalo grease. I got them standing in line, cause I'm an Indian outlaw, half Cherokee and Choctaw. My baby, she's a Chippewa, she's a one of a kind.
most North American Indian nations, it was and is very different. They stayed in the garden, the place of their creation, the single place on earth most perfect for them.
The Crow Country is a good country. The Creator has put it exactly in the right place. While you are in it, you fare well. Whenever you go out of it, whichever way you travel, you fare worse. The Crow Country is exactly in the right place. Alapuish, Crow.
There is a song in everything. Made, Kim Chen.
Make my eyes ever behold the red and purple sunsets. Make me wise so that I may know the things you have taught my people, the lessons you have hidden in every leaf and rock. Make me ever ready to come to you with clean hands and straight eye, so that when life fades as the fading sunset, my spirit may come to you without shame. Tom White Cloud, Ojibwe.
To the outsider, the sun-beaten deserts of the American Southwest are a harsh and unforgiving land, reluctant to support life. To the ancient people who lived there, it was a place where the Creator provided everything.
There is nothing there that you can see, even to this day. Very little vegetation, see a lot of rocks, see a lot of sand. The Hopis have always maintained that that's a chosen place for them. It was chosen for them by the Creator, the Great Spirit, for the Hopis.
The ancient people of the desert were the ancestors of all the modern Pueblo nations. To their Hopi descendants, they are known as the Hisatsunam. But to most of the world, they are known by the Navajo name, Anasazi. Around 900 A.D., the Anasazi flourished in a wide circle covering parts of modern-day Utah, Colorado, Arizona, and New Mexico. The Anasazi found balance with their world. They learned where to find water and how to harness it. Villages joined together to build dams, reservoirs, and irrigation canals, turning deserts into gardens of corn and squash. They were a people intimately connected to their land. In a very real sense, they emerged from it. Generations before the time of Christ, the Anasazi lived in subterranean pit houses, sunken homes with stonework walls and broad, strong roofs, formidable protection against the searing sun and bitter cold of the desert. With time, they adapted their above-ground storage houses into living spaces. But the underground pit houses were not abandoned. They were retained as spiritual places of teaching, the place of origin, the Kiva. 100 years before the first Gothic cathedrals were built in Europe, the master architects and stonemasons of the Anasazi were building great kivas that could hold 500 people. Around 900 AD, the Anasazi leadership embarked upon a bold and visionary plan: create a Mecca for pilgrimages and a focal point for trade at the very center of their land. They chose the barren, treeless Chaco Canyon, 100 miles northwest of present-day Albuquerque, New Mexico. It was a monumental undertaking. They built 400 miles of distinctive graded roads and broad avenues, all leading to the canyon. At distant points, signal stations were constructed where fires blazed to communicate across the vastness of the desert and to guide travelers at night. Over 50,000 trees were cut down in the surrounding mountains to build the towns of Chaco Canyon. Along with traders and pilgrims, the roads carried resources to maintain dozens of communities. None compared with the largest single complex the Anasazi ever built. Pueblo Bonito, the wonder of the canyon. At its peak, Pueblo Bonito's 800 rooms may have housed over 1,000 residents. Some sections overlooking the main plaza loomed 5 stories above the canyon floor. The plaza pulsated with life. Women gathered the colored corn blanketing the rooftops and knelt in rows to grind it. Children played. Men returning from the fields gathered to talk. Seven sacred kivas scattered throughout the complex speak to Pueblo Bonito's rich ceremonial life. During ceremonies, the feet of dancers pounded the ground smooth as spectators huddled against buildings and thronged the roofs to watch. But Chaco Canyon was more than a spiritual mecca. It was also a center of trade and commerce. And trade in one stone, more valuable to Chaco's Mexican trading partners than gold or jade, was the engine of the canyon's economic growth. Turquoise. Here, raw stone arrived from distant mines for the craftsmen of Pueblo Bonito to cut and shape into small tiles and beads, which were then traded south to merchant centers in the heart of Mexico. There they were transformed into extraordinary creations. For 150 years, trade fueled the Chaco economy. But the wealth and power of the canyon was fleeting. Chaco's major turquoise consumer, Tolan, in central Mexico, fell to civil strife.
She's a one of a kind.
I can kill a deer or a buffalo with just my arrow and my hickory bow. From 100 yards, don't you know, wow, I do it all the time. They all gather around my teepee late at night trying to catch a peek at me, and nothing but my buffalo briefs. I got them standing in line, 'cause I'm an Indian outlaw, half Cherokee and Choctaw. My baby, she's a Chippewa, she's a one of a kind. Cherokee people, Cherokee tribe, so proud to live, so proud to die.
All right, this is Tapping, the Arkansas Paranormal Network. We'll have the little deputies. Okay. Well, anyway, that'll be all right, though. Hope you enjoyed our mini show. We're actually having some kind of technical difficulties here. I lost most of my stuff that I was playing. Everything started to shut down on me and had a close a lot of windows down to keep it from booting the radio. Anyway, join us tomorrow from noon to 2. We'll have haunted places and some or other somewhere. And there goes the other half. Oh, well. Try to get this thing set back up. Anyway, things started happening. Oh well, join us from noon to two. No, long day, I tell you. Noon to 2 tomorrow, we'll be talking about haunted places. And we've tried this, things in the United States, and we get started on it, and then something happens, and then we just don't do it anymore. So, we will be talking about haunted places somewhere in the United States tomorrow. You just have to tune in to find out. That's from noon to 2. Oh, well, everybody have a good evening, and we'll see everybody tomorrow. This is Tapping, the Arkansas Paranormal Network. Good night, everybody.